O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
have mercy.
O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
hear us.
God the Father in heaven,
have mercy.
God the Son, Redeemer of the world,
have mercy.
God the Holy Spirit,
have mercy.
Be gracious to us. Be gracious to us.
Help us, good Lord.
From all sin, from all error, from all evil, from the crafts and assaults of the devil, from sudden and evil death, from pestilence and famine, from war and bloodshed, from sedition and from rebellion, from lightning and tempest, from all calamity by fire and water, and from everlasting death.
Good Lord, deliver us.
By the mystery of your holy incarnation, by your holy nativity, by your baptism, fasting, and temptation, by your agony and bloody sweat, by your cross and passion, by your precious death and burial, by your glorious resurrection and ascension, and by the coming of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter.
Help us, good Lord.
In all time of our tribulation, in all time of our prosperity, in the hour of death and in the day of judgment,
help us, good Lord.
We poor sinners implore you
to hear us, O Lord.
To rule and govern your holy Christian church, to preserve all pastors and ministers of your church in the true knowledge and understanding of your wholesome word, and to sustain them in holy living, to put an end to all schisms and causes of offense, to bring into the way of truth all who have erred and are deceived, to beat down Satan under our feet, to send faithful laborers into your harvest, and to accompany your word with your grace and spirit. To raise those who fall and to strengthen those who stand, and to comfort and help the weak-hearted and the distressed.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To give to all peoples concord and peace, to preserve our land from discord and strife, to give our country your protection in every time of need, to direct and defend our president and all in authority, to bless and protect our magistrates and all our people, to watch over and help all who are in danger, necessity, and tribulation, to protect and guide all who travel, to grant all women with child and all mothers with infant children increasing happiness in their blessings, to defend all orphans and widows and provide for them, to strengthen and keep all sick persons and young children, to free those in bondage and to have mercy on us all.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord.
To forgive our enemies, persecutors, and slanderers, and to turn their hearts, to give and preserve for our use the kindly fruits of the earth, and graciously to hear our prayers.
We implore you to hear us, Lord.
Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God,
we implore you to hear us, Lord.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world,
have mercy.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world,
have mercy.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world,
grant us your peace.
O Christ,
hear us.
O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
have mercy.
O Lord,
have mercy. Amen.
Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of your name.
Deliver us and purge away.
Almighty and everlasting God, since you govern and sanctify the whole Christian church by your Holy Spirit, hear our prayers for all its members. Mercifully grant that by your grace we may serve you in true faith, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The first reading is from the book of the prophet Jeremiah, the 17th chapter. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He is like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness, in an uninhabited salt land. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind, to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. Like the partridge that gathers a brood that she did not hatch, so is he who gets rich, but not by justice. In the midst of his days they will leave him, and at his end he will be a fool. A glorious throne set on high from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you shall be put to shame. Those who turn away from you shall be written in the earth, for they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living water. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for you are my praise. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand. Rescue me from the hand of my enemies and from my persecutors. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eye is wasted from grief, my soul and my body also.
For my life is spent in sorrow, and my years in sighing. My strength fails because of my iniquity, and my bones waste away.
Because of all my adversaries, I have become a reproach, especially to my neighbors, and an object of dread to my acquaintances. Those who see me in the street flee from me.
I have been forgotten like one who is dead. I have become like a broken vessel.
For I hear the whispering of many, terror on every side, as they scheme together against me, as they plot to take my life.
But I trust in you, O Lord. I say,
my times are in your hand. Rescue me from the hand of my enemies and from my persecutors.
May your face shine on your servant. Save me in your steadfast love.
O Lord, let me not be put to shame, for I call upon you. Let the wicked be put to shame. Let them go silently to Sheol.
Let the lying lips speak insolently
against the righteous. Oh, how abundant is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you, and worked for those who take refuge in you, in the sight of the children of mankind.
In the cover of your presence, you hide them from the plots of men. You store them in your shelter from the strife of tongues.
Blessed be the Lord, for he has wondrously shown his steadfast love to me when I was in a besieged city.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand. Rescue me from the hand of my enemies and from my persecutors. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter. Now, a discussion arose between some of John's disciples and a Jew over purification. And they came to John and said to him, "Rabbi, He who was with you across the Jordan, to whom you bore witness, look, he is baptizing, and all are going to him." John answered, "A person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given him from above, from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, 'I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him.' The one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. He must increase, but I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth belongs to the earth and speaks in an earthly way. He who comes from heaven is above all. He bears witness to what he has seen and heard, and yet no one receives his testimony. Whoever receives his testimony sets his seal to this, that God is true. For he whom God has sent utters the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him." This is the gospel of the Lord. Our text is the reading you just heard. You may be seated. One note that where it says under the sermon, Jesus discusses with the Pharisees, that is a typo. And the text today is the John 3 reading about John the Baptist and Jesus. The question I want to begin with is a question for each of you. And it's the question of what brings you the greatest joy and the greatest happiness. If you were to put your finger on that thing that gives you fullness of joy, whether you've experienced yet or anticipating it in the future, what would that be? John the Baptist is at an interesting moment in his ministry. He's already baptized Jesus, and Jesus is off and going with his public ministry. And the consequences of this for John the Baptist are that John does not have as many people following him. They've begun to follow Jesus. And some of John's followers who have stuck with him are bothered by this. You get the sense that they see Jesus and John as being in tension. They have some resentment, some rivalry over what Jesus is doing. In John 3, 25 through 36, they don't even mention Jesus by name. Did you pick up how they refer to him? "He who was with you across the Jordan." You know, John, that other guy. Or "the one to whom you bore witness." You remember that guy, John? They don't even use his name. And they say, "John, doesn't it bother you that everyone's now following Jesus? Doesn't it bother you that you were the one baptizing, but now Jesus is baptizing?" Which John 4 goes on to say it wasn't so much Jesus as it was his disciples. And everyone is going to him. Oh, the horror of this. Why would John allow this upstart to take away his followers? Or maybe the question that ought to be asked is, why would anyone still be following John when John told them not to follow him, but to follow Jesus? Why would John's ministry even continue? And you get the sense that John's ministry continues because it is graciousness for those who are slow. Yeah, John said, "There's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world," and a bunch of people went, whoop, right after him. But some of them didn't. Some of them need John to say it again. Some of them need to be reminded that John is not the ultimate, but he's only the pointer, the one who directs us to the one who was to come and who was and is and ever shall be. And so John continues to do his job patiently, testifying and pointing to Jesus. He serves Christ still. And for John the Baptist, there is no rivalry here. There is no resentment. There is no tension. And he gives his followers a beautiful image to capture this. He talks about the bride, the bridegroom, and the friend of the bridegroom. Or you might say the best man. The bride is meant not for the friend, but for the bridegroom. And the friend's greatest joy is when everything is prepared for the wedding and the bride is ready and the friend hears the voice of the bridegroom approaching and can say, "Here comes the bridegroom for the bride." In that analogy, that picture that John gives, there's no resentment by the friend of the bride, the friend of the groom, the best man. There's no rivalry there. There's no tension. And there's no sorrow when the bridegroom comes. It is pure and complete joy. And that's how John describes himself. He says, "I am not the Christ. I am the one who was sent before him. The one who has the bride is the bridegroom, and the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice." The fact that Jesus is doing these baptisms across the Jordan, or the fact that many are following Jesus, is not a source of sorrow. It is a source of great joy. And in fact, John the Baptist says, "My joy is now complete. He must increase. I must decrease." You want to talk about Jesus, he says, "I'm happy to do that. There is not a man who can take anything or assume rights or powers or privileges that have not been given him by God. And the fact that Jesus is carrying out his ministry is yet another sign that he is the one come from God." John wants to say, "Guys, don't you get it? Each of us has been given our special work. I've got my work, and he's got his. And his is the greater work." You see, John finds great joy in the fact that people are turning to Jesus. John's joy is not in the fact that his ministry is going well. John's joy is in the fact that Jesus' ministry is going well, and people are flocking to him. In fact, it seems to me that John wants nothing more than to lose his job, to have it come to an end, that his greatest joy would be in saying, "You know what, I'm done here," and it's all handed over. He is the one who has come to prepare the way, because Jesus is the one in whom we are to trust. He is the one to whom we are to cling by faith. He is the one who has come to accomplish not only the preparatory work, but the final work of suffering and dying on our behalf. So John says, "He must increase, I must decrease." That ought to be the prayer of every pastor, every elder and deaconess in a congregation, every servant of the church. He must increase and I must decrease. And that is not a source of sorrow, but a source of joy. We could say, in fact, that this ought to be the prayer of every single Christian. Let me decrease, Lord, and let Christ in me increase. Because we rejoice to hear his voice. We rejoice in the bridegroom as he comes. We rejoice in the work that he carries out and the bride that he takes to be with himself. John the Baptist and I would desire nothing more for you this day than this, that you would hear the voice of the bridegroom, that you would be drawn to him and cling to him, and that your joy would be in others doing the same thing. Who is Jesus? He is the one who comes from above. Yes, he is a man like us in our earthly flesh, but he is not only a man, he is also the true God. He is the one who speaks what he knows because he himself has come from heaven. And that's what John the Baptist points out, his higher, unique source of origin. You don't want me, you want him, because he is the one who has come from above, down in the likeness of a man. He is the one who can give you the heavenly truth directly.
He is the authority who has been in the very throne room of God and has come down to make him known. Put your trust in him. The human heart trusts in all sorts of things and can easily be led astray, as Jeremiah revealed to us in our first reading. But the one who trusts in the Lord, the one who trusts in the one who must increase, the one who holds to the man who was crucified and risen from the dead, he will be like a tree planted by streams of water, and he will flourish, and his joy will be full and complete. So, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, may your joy today, like John the Baptist, be in Jesus. And may your joy be in what Christ has done for you, and may your joy be in those who are brought to Jesus and trust in him. And may your prayer be, he must increase, but I must decrease. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand. Peace that passes all understanding, now guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, you desire not the death of a sinner, but rather that we would turn from our evil ways and live. Turn us again, O God of our salvation, and let your anger cease from us. Spare us from every evil to body and soul. Lord, in your mercy. Look graciously on your church and preserve the gospel among us. Renew us in this penitential season to strive against the desires of the flesh, to grow in the joy of your salvation, and to look in love and service toward our neighbors, especially those of the household of faith. Lord, in your mercy, look graciously on the families of our congregation. Defend your holy estate of marriage against every enemy that would divide. Strengthen parents for their duties, especially bringing up their children in the fear and instruction of the Lord. And preserve us all faithful to the end. Lord, in your mercy, look graciously on our nation and its leaders, all civil servants and those who protect us and work for the common good. Drive away all disease and fear from us. Grant peace, we pray, O Lord. Lord, in your mercy. Behold in mercy all who are sick, who suffer and who rejoice, and be with all expectant mothers, all whose labor is dangerous, the unemployed, those near death, and those who mourn. Give comfort to us who are dust and must return to dust, that a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Lord, in your mercy. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to offer himself as the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the world. Trusting in his mercy, bring us in repentance and faith to your altar to eat his body and drink his blood for the forgiveness of our sins. Lord, in your mercy. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us, for to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Good, right, and salutary, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, our God, King of all creation. For you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Grant us your Spirit, gracious Father, that we may give heed to the testament of your Son in true faith, and above all, firmly take to heart the words with which Christ gives to us his body and blood for our forgiveness. By your grace, lead us to remember and give thanks for the boundless love which he manifested to us when, by pouring out his precious blood, he saved us from your righteous wrath and from sin, death, and hell. Grant that we may receive the bread and wine that is his body and blood, as a gift, guarantee, and pledge of his salvation. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, at his command, and with his own words, we receive his testament.
Our Lord
Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul for life everlasting. Depart in peace. Let us pray. Blessed Savior, Jesus Christ, you have given up yourself to us in this holy sacrament. Keep us in your faith and favor that we may live in you even as you live in us. May your body and blood preserve us in the true faith to life everlasting. Hear us for the sake of your name.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit.